Your fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's grace and kindness and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. There are certain scenes out of the Bible and certain Bible stories that artists find very difficult to depict. One of them is the world before the fall into sin. Because it's so unnatural for us in this fallen world that we've all lived in and grown up in to try in any way to comprehend what it would have been like to have lived before the fall into sin and what that might have looked like with man sitting around peacefully with all of the wild beasts. Another scene from the Bible and Bible stories that is often difficult for artists to depict is that of our Lord's transfiguration. And that's because this is such a strange thing to have a human being glow like the sun, as brightness as lightning. Another very challenging thing to depict. And I would maintain that this event of our Lord's ascension is also one of those. It is so contrary to the laws of gravity and just things that we take for granted. It is such a defiant thing for a human body to rise off of the earth without any apparent help. But this amazing event of our Lord's ascension into heaven is placed in Scripture for us not simply to baffle us with how amazing it is, but to provide us actually with comfort. And tonight I would like to pull out 5 signs that God gives to us in Scripture about our Lord's ascension that are intended to be for your and my comfort. The first is this: the work that the Son of God had come to do by his incarnation is now done and finished and complete. The work of atoning for our sins is all accomplished. There's nothing more that needs to be added. I remember in seminary, one of the professors used to talk a lot about the phrase, the description called the opinio legis. The opinio legis is this thought about the law. It's like a little courtroom inside of a person's heart, even the Christian's heart, that is constantly reminding him and her of sins that happened years ago. That opinion of the law that just rests on top of our heart. And that sometimes makes us a little bit afraid of what God thinks of us, and especially what Judgment Day is going to be like for us someday. Because, boy, there are certain things I know in my life that can just pop back up so quickly and remind me of my wickedness and my evil before God. But God doesn't want us living under fear of him and his judgment. That's why he sent his Son into this world, not only to pay for your sins, but to rise again, to justify you before God's throne. And Jesus' ascension is to you personally a signal from God that you should not listen to the fears of your heart anymore, that maybe something still needs to be done. God has taken his Son back up into the heavens to show you and to signify to you everything is done. Nothing more needs to be added. Imagine if you were, and maybe for some of you in a few years, are going to want to be going out to buy a house. And you're going to try to save up money for that. And you may run from bank to bank to try to find a loan that you could use to potentially pay off over time. But imagine if a relative came and paid the full amount, bought the house, got the title and the deed already done for you. But because you weren't sure about whether that was good, you kept running back to the banks to see if you could still take out a loan, how ridiculous that would be. Your relative would say to you, it's done, it's already accomplished. When you and I think in our minds and hearts that somehow there's maybe still something left out there that needs to be paid off in order for us to have the home of heaven, God comes to us through our Lord's ascension and says, look, it's done, it's over. Just believe it. Secondly, Jesus' presence with his church by his ascension has not ended, but rather it has just changed a little bit. Christ has not, by going up into the heavens, Christ has not made himself somehow immobile in heaven, has not somehow locked himself into heaven. There are some church bodies that teach this, that now by their teaching of Christology, they see Christ as hemmed up into heaven, unable to come back to the earth, unable to be present with his church anymore. Nothing could be further from the truth, the way Scripture teaches it to us. Our Lord Jesus still wants to be and is present with his church. He's just changed the mode by which this takes place. He now comes to us through his sacraments. And where we gather together to hear his word, receive baptism, the Lord's Supper, the office of the keys, this is now how he comes back and interacts with his church. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we hear on the day of Pentecost, the Lord added daily to their numbers. He was right there with them when his word was being taught and preached, when baptism was being used. The Lord, Christ himself, was present, adding daily to their numbers. And right in the text before us tonight in Mark, we read, the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word. Thirdly, Christ's ascension into heaven is a signal to us that our Lord has now ascended there to be at the right hand of the Father, to rule things on your behalf for each one of us. The position of a right hand is something that's often described in the Bible. We think of the right hand as kind of a sign of power. We use that in our American jargon, too, to talk about someone being a right-hand man. It means to be in a position of authority and to be in a position that's right there by the throne in order to help and to do things. Our Lord, now that he sits on the throne at the right hand of the Father, his number one concern is his brothers and sisters who believe in him. Remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament and how he rose to power in Egypt and was kind of veiled as far as his brothers coming to see him and not recognizing him? And during that time, it'd be interesting to know what it was like as his brothers came before him thinking they had to be afraid of him. And here in his heart, Joseph recognizes them and he's thinking to himself, I'm trying to figure out a way to help them. And what a joyful moment that was when he finally reveals himself to them as their very brother. And he's now in this position of power to actually take care of them and help them. If you in any way think of the Son of God, of Christ himself being on the throne in heaven as a fearful thing, as if we are to be afraid of his majesty, nothing could be further from the truth. The thing that is on his heart is to help us, is to take care of us, and to do things for us that will benefit us. And he can't wait for the day when we arrive there in heaven and he reveals to us his glory, even though he is our flesh and blood brother. Fourthly, the ascension of our Lord is a signal to God, to you and me, that this is a prototype of your future, a prototype of your own ascension. St. Peter writes, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we expect our Lord and Savior. During the Renaissance, some of the artists that tried to depict the ascension scene would often try to show believers gradually being lifted off of the earth, kind of below him in his train. That's a beautiful depiction to try to show what the Scriptures teaches us. The fact that the Son of God, our head, is now sitting on the throne above is like a magnet for us that will draw us someday by our own ascension from our graves to his side. And fifth and finally, the ascension of our Lord is to signal this to us, that while we await his return, we are to go about the great task of helping others follow in that train. Our Lord Jesus, before ascending, in all of the accounts that describe this in Scripture, instructs the members of his church to bring others along, to work toward spreading the gospel, preaching his word, baptizing, the very ways by which others are brought into his train. We are not to sit here in this world waiting for Christ to come back, twiddling our thumbs. There's much to do. There is great work to do. Dr. Norman Madsen, who used to preach on Bethany's campus, said this, the true test of your attitude about life is your attitude toward its final end. There's a lot of truth to that. The true test of your attitude about life is your attitude toward its final end. Maybe you in your life have had someone very special to you that died, and your last moment with them, your last conversation with them, is kind of burned into your mind. I have a couple of those in my life. Isn't it wonderful to know that even as our Lord left the earth with his bodily presence here the way he was at the time, according to his local mode of presence, isn't it interesting that the final image we have of Christ leaving the earth is that of his hands blessing his church? May we by faith follow in his train and someday enjoy our own ascension. Amen.